Keep in touch with the Wolf Connection Podcast on our Instagram handle at the Wolf Connection Pod, or email us your questions, comments, and guest ideas to podcast@wolfconnection.org. Thank you for your support, and howls to you all. Welcome to the Wolf Connection Podcast. I'm your host, John Calvin. Another edition of Wolf Tracks, but this one is specific and tailored to the state of Wyoming, and I think rightfully so. This is our second episode of three that we are dropping on the podcast about this specific incident involving Cody Roberts in Wyoming and the tragic killing of this wolf that I'm sure many of you that are listening have already looked and saw. Our guest, as always for Wolf Tracks, is Carter Niemeyer. Carter, I would say it's a pleasure to have you, but under these circumstances, obviously, things are a little different. But as always, it's good to see and talk with you. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Good to see and hear from you fellas again. Hopefully we can make lemonade out of a lemon.
Yeah. I agree. Boy, just again, I think just first off, your thoughts just about, I think what maybe has caught maybe the public and those that are not involved in the wolf world on a regular basis, maybe is just, I think, the brashness of the incident itself and the fact that there is actual photo evidence of something like this that has happened. So I guess just your initial take of the incident itself and where this is starting to track as more information sort of unfolds.
Well, the guts of the story is an individual named Cody Roberts from Daniels, Wyoming, went out on his snowmobile and legally ran down a wolf with the snow machine, rendered it in a condition he could handle it, apparently. We've seen coyote bashing, which is what people have been doing for decades. When I lived in Montana, I watched it firsthand, where you just get on a high-speed snow machine or snowmobile and you race after coyotes out in open fields and you hit them. You just run over them. You knock them senseless, cut them up with the paddles on the base of the snowmobile track, and then either bludgeon them to death or shoot them. What Cody Roberts did was any combination, except he just rendered the wolf in a condition he could handle it, put tape around its muzzle and displayed it at home and displayed it in a bar alive. I looked at the wolf and it's pretty obvious to me that it was a young animal. And from handling hundreds of wolves, I can tell you that young wolves are very submissive. They don't put up much fight, even a year or two old. They will just go limp when they're overwhelmed by a threat. They won't look you in the eye, and they really wouldn't even probably attempt to bite you. So anyway, he took this wolf around town and apparently ended up in a bar where a picture was taken, and news media got a hold of it. Somebody sent the picture to the news media, and someone contacted Wyoming Game and Fish about the episode. And in the meantime, Cody Roberts took the wolf out and killed it. Newspaper reports say he euthanized it. That's not euthanasia. I'm not clear. I don't know if anyone's clear how he killed it. There's rumors that he shot it to death behind the bar, which technically, I guess, you're not even supposed to discharge a firearm in town. So all is unclear. The bottom line is people from coast to coast are outraged, including me, that this kind of behavior happened. Reminds me of ISIS a few years ago, when we were watching almost weekly a bunch of prisoners with their hands tied behind their back, kneeling down, waiting to have their throats slit or their heads removed. this is what that Cody Roberts picture reminded me of immediately. His only illegal activity was possessing a live wolf, if you can believe that, in the state of Wyoming. He was fined $250 for keeping that wolf alive. If he'd have just killed it, he didn't do anything illegal. So I guess today, what I think the point I want to get to right off the bat is just simply, you know, ethically and morally, it's wrong. I think people got to make this stuff illegal, because you can't, people just don't police themselves. And as long as these activities are permitted, stupid people are going to do stupid things.
So what's the actual charge? I didn't read that. What is, I mean, bringing it to a public place, or, I mean,
no, the actual charge is Wyoming has a law that you cannot possess live wolves.
Possess.
So, yep.
You have to leave the woods with a deceased animal.
Yep. That's essentially what the only thing he did wrong. Everything else in the state of Wyoming, and very similarly in Idaho and Montana, is similar. Almost anything goes with predatory animals. They're treated like vermin, essentially unprotected. Just about anything is allowed to kill them, because these states continue to villainize predators as if they're bad dudes. And I just want to go on record to say predators are not bad. They're good. We need them. We need lots of them in lots of places. They're thriving, and that's no excuse to be killing them by every possible method and villainizing them. But that's the status of the situation right now. And I'm hoping the outrage from coast to coast will finally bring about some reforms.
There has been many comments from the hunting community, the angling community, even the trapping community, obviously against this. I don't know whether it's worry about the state of what this will do for those that hunt, for officials that are friendly with this. I think there's many podcasts that we have had, not only with yourself, but others, is I believe that these types of killings have been going on for quite some time, not in the public eye. And now that something like this is really brought to the forefront, do you believe that these comments by the community of the hunting and angling community and their outrage over the ethics of this is genuine, or is this something you believe as a former hunter and trapper yourself, that this is something trying to disassociate from Cody Roberts and still continue with the practices that may not be humane to those of us that are in the non-consumptive community?
Well, I've looked at all of the reports that have come across my desk or various sources. I haven't seen anyone but a few local nutcases that have defended Cody Roberts' behavior. Across the board, politicians are out. I mean, their words, I'm outraged. I'm disgusted. Politicians have said it's unacceptable. And I am encouraged by ethical hunters, courageous hunters, stepping forward and saying this stuff's wrong. Because regardless of additional laws that statutes we may get as a result of this stupidity, if you're an ethical hunter, these kinds of rules and regulations that we could get aren't going to affect you one bit. I'm speaking now as a hunter. I'm not a bit worried by penalizing people and passing a statute that you cannot run down wildlife on snowmobiles. Nobody should, under any circumstances, be able to do stuff like this. And any ethical hunter that calls himself a hunter and a sportsman should be outraged and absolutely not defend this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
So I just, again, jumping ahead, we need statutes in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and perhaps other states where coyote bashing is legal. And these, this kind of performance by outlaws needs to be made illegal so we can punish people that do it. I can't imagine any ethical sportsman even thinking about doing what Cody Roberts did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, there has to be, there's got to be other charges that are not very difficult to identify. I mean, in terms of the definition of possession, there has to be a spectrum of activity, because it's like, what, you know, he takes, let's say he takes a wolf home after this snowmobile incident, and he shoots it in his backyard. That can't be the same thing as taking a wolf with its mouth taped into a bar where other people are, where the public is. I just can't believe it's so hard to find another charge in there somewhere. That's just,
well, I've read opinion pieces now in the last day or two where there are attorneys with environmental groups who say there are applications of cruelty laws that can be applied to this Cody Roberts. And I guess we got to wait and see who pushes this, but it is indefensible. And there are some animal abuse laws, but you know, it's like another thing that frightens me is you tape an animal's mouth shut, and some people have done this. I've seen records of it and heard stories of it, taping a predator's mouth shut and releasing them. They can't get that tape off their face. They would starve to death. So people say, well, you know, so big deal, this wolf, so how is he abused? Well, being run over, he's abused. I can tell you, I was a taxidermist, and I've skinned a lot of predators in my career. When they are run over by snowmobiles, I've skinned some of those coyotes in the past when I lived in Montana. They're torn to shreds. These paddles just literally tear holes in their hide and rip their muscles. That's abuse. Then knocking them senseless and putting the tape on its mouth. And then the fear, the trauma of being hauled around like this, taken into these human establishments, into that whole environment. And then what another thing amazes me is I haven't read about anybody with any courage or spine or backbone that was in that bar that stopped him, that told him, don't do this. So they're all part of the problem when you got this kind of mentality that people find this acceptable and sit by. I mean, you apply it to a human being beat up in the street, and pedestrians walking by and letting it happen. So, I mean, there's all kinds of abuse here. But now I guess you got to have attorneys tease out applications of where they can find teeth in the law to punish the guy. The whole thing is so disgusting. And the other thing about, you know, legal hunters and trappers, this all reflects on you. These kinds of stupid behaviors, you can say, well, he's just one individual. You can't judge us all. Well, we are judging everybody. I'm a hunter. I just find it appalling, reprehensible. And you got my vote to do anything I can in my power to get a statute where, at the minimum, get rid of coyote bashing, and then we'll take it and step further if we need to. But this kind of stuff's just got to stop.
Yeah. And the kind of the most bothersome thing on the internet, in terms of the aftermath of this, is, I mean, there's two groups of hunters. There's the majority, which is saying, you know, this is not an activity we support. This is not indicative or characteristic of the hunting community. and we don't want to be associated with this type of activity. But then there's still this other group on there that you see a lot of times in comment sections that's basically justifying the activity, saying essentially that, you know, they deserve it. Have you seen what they do to ungulates? Have you seen them rip fawns out of does during birth? It's a deserved thing because they're ruthless predators. And I don't understand who we think we are and how we're arriving at this kind of judgment about wild predators, particularly as hunters. It's just a strange judgment.
It's a judgment call humans got no business making. And if you call yourself a hunter and an outdoorsman, and if you've lived that lifestyle, what predators do to their prey is not for us to judge or decide is right or wrong, because we're predators too. You got eyes in the front of your head, you're a predator. Eyes in the side of your head, you're a prey. And what we do with guns, bows and arrows, snowmobiles, airplanes, helicopters, what we do, look in the mirror first. Let's judge what we as people are doing before we ever get into telling a wolf that it's not killing something correctly. It's not our call. That's their role in nature to do. And it's been going on for millions of years, and it's not going to stop because it's how they operate. But humans, on the other hand, talk about taking advantage of every possibility of coming home with something dead in the back of your truck. There's hardly anything you can't do these days. The only thing that you can't give people is common sense, ethics, and morals, and hopefully somehow your genetics gave you those things.
I mean, this is the natural order of how things go. It doesn't... I agree with you, Stephen and Carter. I mean, I've seen some of those comments also, and it's literally the natural. I mean, if you've turned on the television and watched anything on National Geographic or Discovery at any point in your life, they clearly show this is, I mean, they're wild animals. This is how they have to take down their prey. This is the way they were, you know, this is the way they've evolved to become this way. And that's how they're supposed to take down prey. I mean, the fact that you can, you know, Carter, I think the only thing you didn't mention was night scopes. And the other thing, which is just ridiculous also, is the uncanny, unfair advantage of it's not fair chase. That's the only thing that I think any of us can really say, is that none of this is fair chase. If you were to give, you know, if any animal was able to use a snowmobile to get away, then okay. Yeah. But that's like, that's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be fair chase. Dudes chasing down other predators that are also riding snowmobiles. But yeah, I mean, nowadays in the hunting world, I mean, just having modern gear, you have to consciously try to initiate fair chase, because already it's just having the full suite of gear that you could have.
It's hard to balance that out.
It's hard to make it a thing.
And get realistic. Step back and picture what a predator has to do. You got to grasp your prey with your mouth. You got to grip it with some teeth, and you got to disable it. You might have a set of claws to hang on to it, but you're putting your face out there to take the kick from the hoof, to get your ribs busted. Another thing I did, you know, back in days when I cleaned animal skulls too, I saved them because they have all kinds of anomalies on them. When you clean an animal skull, and I'm going to be talking about predators, you should see the damage where they've had skull fractures, where their jaws have been broken, and somehow they've miraculously lived and healed up from those wounds. But they take a horrible beating. And how many times do you try to kill prey that you don't get? So, I mean, it's a huge job for an animal to catch its next meal. And who are we to be judging when we're throwing arrows and bullets at stuff?
You remember, yeah. I mean, the other thing too, Carter, that we And honestly, because and you've spoken about this a couple of times too, because we talk about the prey, right? And we talk about the imbalance in a lot of these, you know, in these three states in particular. Wyoming, though, is where we're focusing on. And not only, and it almost seems like this was, and I am not saying this in a way to say, but like kismet in a way. When you see the amount of elk that are now in Wyoming, that apparently these herds are overpopulated, unlimited tags they want to start with, and because the herds are too big. And I've seen the comments of, well, wolves aren't there, or predators really aren't there. So how are we to allow the natural balance of prey species if we're not giving these predators a chance to control the prey populations as they would naturally do? Doesn't this seem like this is an imbalance? I mean, this is an imbalance beyond I think any of us can believe, is that we're trying to throw things at, you know, prey species that, you know, I don't care how many tags you give out, I doubt you're going to be able to control a population just by humans. Wolves and other predators are your best friends to control herds.
Well, so I say predators are good. They serve, you know, everybody tells you all the reasons they're bad. Predators should be left alone. There's no reason. I mean, this is the misconception you hear about, especially in the West. Well, we kill predators and we have very little protection for predators, and they're treated like vermin, and we don't require tags to kill them, and there's no quota on them. That's a human judgment call, again, based on the misconception that you need to control predators. I don't believe you do. I've been in the predator control occupation for almost three decades when I was living in Montana. These predators have every good purpose of culling these herds. And people get so defensive when you talk about, well, they kill the sick and the weak and the young and the infirm, and they kill the unfortunate, the ones that make a bad decision. But nonetheless, everybody said, well, yeah, but they kill the healthy ones. Well, of course they do, but they do cull the herds. With elk herds, I mean, it's like livestock. The older those cow elk are, the less productive they are until they become unproductive. So why not let predators remove those old animals, keep the herd young, because those young cow elk are going to be healthy enough to avoid predation with the best of them. So we're persecuting predators for two main reasons. We're helping protect wild ungulates, which I don't believe need to be protected. There's too many of them, as you just pointed out with elk. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming all reflect that right now. They have excess numbers of elk in most places. So let the predators do their thing. And then, of course, the thing we haven't even talked about here is we're persecuting predators like wolves because of their reputation of killing livestock, killing sheep and cattle. Well, it's a minuscule amount. If you look at all the statistics, probably about 4% nationwide of the livestock deaths, 4% out of 100% are related to some form of predation. And that's what's reported. It's not measured. But I worked in predator control occupation for three decades. Comparatively speaking, yeah, predators kill some livestock, but it don't justify categorizing them as vermin and having these limitless a number you can kill by almost any method. It's a misconception that goes on and on. Unfortunately, it disappoints me as a wildlife biologist to see state biologists encouraging this, that what are we in the business for of wildlife management? Management anymore seems like it has to do with killing. Kill, kill, kill. And then we want to kill predators who are helping us control the herds, because then we could, I mean, the list is endless. Chronic wasting disease, brucellosis, and a multitude of other diseases out there that predators can help control and help limit. So they're our buddies, they're our friends, and we got to get away from the misconception. And I hope state fish and game agencies someday will show the respect to predators that they seem to show favoritism to for wild ungulates like deer and elk.
Yeah. And if I mean, as a hunter, if I were mad about any kind of waste of ungulates, it would be the amount that we hit with cars every year. I mean, it's thousands and thousands of ungulates being killed by cars every single year. I mean, the roads are lined with dead deer and elk in where I live. It's unbelievable. But so I thought of the question I had before, which was, okay, so the other comment I'm seeing under these Cody pictures is, well, the first one was, you know, have you seen how they hunt deer? Have you seen them ripping fawns out of does and blah, blah, blah. But also, and we may have touched on this before, but I just want to address it because I'm seeing this one a lot too. Have you ever seen, or do you have any reason to believe that wolves, for any reason, simply kill for sport, meaning not for consumption, meaning their plan is let's kill a bunch of stuff today and not consume it?
I would say absolutely not. I'm basing that on 5 decades of experience, observation, and working in the predator control business. These animals, predators, they operate on energy levels like you and me. And you go do a job, you need energy intake, you need a good meal. When these predators kill things, they're hunting for food. And you'll hear all kinds of stories. Well, you know, the wolves rip the fawns out or the calf out. No, they don't. Anybody that's telling you that has seen some staged picture on the internet or anywhere else, you know, of a dead deer by the highway with 2 fawns laying there. And they say, look, the coyote pulled out the fawns and left them lay. No, a human pulled those fawns out and posed them for a picture. And in all of my predator work, even around livestock, those prey, that calf, that sheep would be eaten up entirely if it wasn't for disturbance by humans discovering that a predation event went on. You know, and then a guy like me, the government trapper, shows up. And I mean, pretty soon there's all this human activity. Well, they just move the wolf, for an example, moves on. But I've never seen where they kill for fun. Now, they do surplus kill. That sometimes happens when prey are easy to kill. There's a fence. They can't get out of the fence. They may kill a multiple number of sheep. I've seen weasels go in a hen house and kill 20 or 30 chickens. These predators don't count what they're killing. When the prey is easy to get, they grab a bunch. There's a lot of times they go hungry and starve because they don't get anything. So again, we're adding the big word anthropomorphic application here, where we're adding human qualities to these events that happen. But in my work experience over the years too, when I hear these stories from somebody says, well, I went out hunting and I seen 10 or, you know, whatever dead elk. I've hunted my whole career, 5 decades out west. I hate to admit my age. I've never gone out and stumbled onto a multiple number of dead deer, elk, or any other prey species that wolves or coyotes or anything have killed. So, I mean, all this stuff, you can tell these stories. I challenge you that it's BS. It's not the way it is. One last statement, too, is everything I've seen dead that a predator has taken down, let's talk about a wolf again, there's not a shred of that animal left. The scavengers. Eagles, coyote, badger,
ravens, yeah, foxes, vultures, yeah.
They mop up every last ounce of those prey species. When you see a skeleton laying out there intact that has rotted in a field, that is not predation. I've seen doctored animals that died, and scavengers have eaten around the rumen, the gut cavity area, and there'll be a big bolus laying in the middle where the rancher doctored that cow or whatever. I've seen the predator eat around that pill, and the pill's laying there in the middle. So under normal circumstances, under normal predator-prey relationships, they kill to eat. And between the predator and the scavengers that benefit from it, there's nothing left. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I don't know what folks are seeing that's making them think that's what's happening, because certainly they're not witnessing it with their own eyes. So I don't know. Yeah.
It's nothing I've seen.
So, well, as a hunter and a biologist, really, like amongst hunters, even what you would consider ethical hunters, that consider themselves to be conservationists. That's a whole nother topic, but they consider themselves to be conservationists. They consider themselves to be hunters in favor of wildlife. The perspective is, if you're a deer hunter or an elk hunter, you have an obligation to balance out your impact by hunting predators. Do you think as a hunter, you can hunt prey species and decide not to hunt predator species and assume that you're in line with the way that things are supposed to be in your mind?
Well, I've hunted for 6 decades of my life. I've been as hardcore hunter as you can be. And there was a time I killed predators. I did some trapping when the fur prices were really high and I was just out of school and needed the income. But I'm speaking now as a hunter. I hunt mostly elk these days, but I haven't probably killed a predator in 30 years. I stopped killing predators, and I don't think anybody needs to kill a predator to balance out, save deer and elk. I just don't equate it. I think if you talk to fish and game biologists in the state agencies, I don't really know of any studies, research studies that show that killing predators increases prey. And there's a book by Dr. Bob Hayes, Wolves of the Yukon, where they killed over 1,000 wolves up in that Yukon area to protect caribou. And they said it didn't. Yes, they had a temporary increase as long as they kept killing wolves. The minute you stop, the minute you leave them alone, the prey species drop back down to whatever the normal numbers are based on the habitat available. Dr. Hayes's conclusion was it was a waste of money. He'd never do it again. And I've looked at other studies where they've tried to save antelope, save mule deer. If you look at that research, killing predators basically resulted in nothing really changing, nothing really making a difference with that prey population. Because if the habitat is wrong or you have winter severity, situations like that are what kill ungulates or eliminate the possibilities of ungulate herds growing. Predators, just like right now, we've got an abundance of mountain lions, black bears, wolves, and others. Why do we have this abundance? Because there is this tremendous ungulate prey population in the West. The prey control the predators. The predators don't control the prey.
Right.
If you think about
That's true.
It,
yeah.
Think what I'm saying is when prey are abundant, predators are abundant. When prey declines, predators decline because their grocery sack goes away. There's no more food. I can't eat. I starve. I can't have pups that survive. You really think about those relationships. That's how it really works.
Yeah. It's fairly simple to get that information or to find that correlation. In light of this situation, Carter, where and ultimately do you believe this situation with Cody Roberts, and we say this with any type of flashpoint scenario, this one, I don't know, feels different. I don't know if it's possible. does this feel like a point where there will be change in that I've seen the governor come out again, say his due diligence about how it's abhorrent or he didn't, you know, the situation's terrible. I know there are a couple of outlets, Wildfile in particular, KHOL, who tried to get information from Wyoming Game and Fish. They were denied access, or they haven't gotten any updates as of last week. Do you think this is a tipping point in that relationship between the game agencies, the hunting community, and the non-consumptive community here in Wyoming specifically as we talk about this because of the overabundant herds? We talk about this in this situation with Cody Roberts and just the way the predators are able to be taken out in these predator zones. Do you think this is a point where a shift will happen?
I am very hopeful that this results in reform coming. In 2019, Wyoming, an individual, I can't think of the legislator's name, they introduced a bill to ban coyote bashing, and the legislature didn't even let the bill go to the floor. So, I mean, they killed it. There was no support whatsoever for it. Well, here we are in 2024, and if you read what the director of Fish and Game in Wyoming has said, you know, his disgust, the governor's outrage, I believe the governor's office saying it's unacceptable for this kind of thing to happen, then people, let's ban chasing coyotes and wolves and foxes and other wildlife, snowmobiles, because it won't make a bit of difference to the ethical sportsman, and it'll make it easier to prosecute criminals like Cody Roberts, unethical behavior, inhumane behavior. We have nothing to lose by passing a bill that bans coyote bashing at the very minimum as a result of this. And we can take it other steps later, but I haven't seen anybody defend it as far as politicians. Seen, as you just pointed out, hunters are appalled. I can guarantee you, wildlife advocates are appalled, and I just see the perfect situation right now to put an end to at least this kind of stuff.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple. It is simple. It does seem that way. I wanted I think the last thing too, Carter, before we let you go, it looks like there is, I don't know if you've read this or seen this, it looks like there is a public meeting or a commission meeting that's coming up, I believe, in the next week or so in Wyoming. I don't know if that's something that it's public. Is this a place where people can have their voices heard, their thoughts shared? Is this something, put on your advocate hat for a moment and guide people. I know it's, you know, I know it's emails, it's writing in, but is this something where they can go to this meeting and, you know, see if there can be change done there? Is this something where they can make their voice heard?
Yeah. I'm just guessing it's like the 17th, perhaps.
Yep. 16th, 17th. Yep.
Yeah. If you contact, I don't have it right in front of me at the moment here, but if you get a hold of Wyoming Fish and Game right now, the sooner the better. I'm certain that you can appear in person or you can sign up to speak. Some states, I'm guessing Wyoming too, you could probably be able to call in or do Zoom or some other method. But if people jump on it right now, I would say yes, that you would be able to express your feelings either verbally or in writing or something. But don't hesitate or wait around, because I'm hoping hundreds of people will sign up to speak and say how you feel.
Yeah, I know that I've seen plenty of petitions going around with tens of thousands of signatures. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon. Carter, any last thoughts on, again, I think just the situation. Actually, the one thing I did want to speak on with you, and maybe you have a little bit of insight, is I've seen certain comments, and again, I don't remember the name, so I'm not going to try and remember, basically talking about Wyoming's history of stewardship with their wildlife, and that this does not represent Wyoming and their stewardship of wildlife. To me, just on the outset, that seems slightly hollow, in that we have seen for a number of years, and I'm sure you can remember further back, it really seems as though predators have been, like you said, treated as vermin, killed at any way they possibly can, and controlled to the point where they are not able to ecologically control herds. Are comments like this coming out in defense, or not in defense, but just coming, you know, trying to save face again? Or, I mean, I don't remember Wyoming's track record back maybe as far as you can, but at least in the near term, Wyoming doesn't seem to have the best, you know, management practices that many of us can see when talking about predators.
Well, I moved out to Montana in the mid-70s, and I knew and worked with colleagues in Wyoming in the predator control field. And I can tell you, Wyoming's track record is dismal when it comes to predators. They've tried to kill them. Back in the 70s, when I came to Montana, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, through Wildlife Services, in the wintertime when the snow fell, we had airplanes and helicopters up in the sky, every contract pilot you could hire to fly around and shoot coyotes and foxes, especially because, you know, every coyote walking out there is suspect of killing a sheep, or it's capable of killing a sheep. So this is the history of Wyoming. With wolves right now, 85% of the state, you can kill them year round and you don't need a tag. So as you just said, the words ring hollow to me. Wyoming's got a reputation of being death on predators. They have federal trappers, they have county trappers at the county level. And they're killing hundreds of coyotes in these counties where there's not even a sheep anymore. So if you really look at the predator programs in these western states, it's a tremendous overkill. And Idaho and Montana are really no cleaner reputation either. If you just killed the predators that attack livestock, you wouldn't see these 9,000 or 10,000 coyotes killed annually. You might see 1,000 coyotes. You might see 500 killed on account of specific predation. But the majority of predators killed are killed simply because of what they are and what they're called and treated like vermin. So if you really valued your predators, there's a lot of these activities that would come to an end and should have come to an end decades ago.
Yeah,
man. Carter Niemeyer, again, it's always great for your insight. We can't thank you enough again for being who you are, advocate, steward, and an ethical hunter, and fighting for predators as much as you can. Thank you, Carter, for everything and the insight you gave us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
You too. House to you all out there, and we'll have more on this. Looking for more information about Wolf Connection or the podcast? Please visit our website at wolfconnection.org, where you can donate, sponsor a wolf, or become a volunteer.